we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled, God Positioning His People, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the Book of Ruth and the Book of Esther. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Hello, hello, hello. Here we are. I'm excited. I am excited about the day that we live in right now. I am excited to be here. I am excited to have worshiped with Bethany. And I just, doesn't it just bring tears to your eyes as you just sit and worship? I don't know how many of you in your homes stood up, and I'm kind of looking around this room, and I am picturing people sitting in their regular seats in here because it gives me comfort when I do that. So if you don't mind, I'm going to kind of be looking at you, and maybe you're going to feel me looking at you when you are sitting in your regular seat and I look in toward that seat. Maybe you will be feeling that I am looking right at you. But we live in exciting, exciting times. And I am excited to be on today. Maybe you're not looking at it and thinking these are exciting days that we live in. But I'm telling you, these are exciting days that we live in. And I just want to encourage you. I know that you are praying at 7:14. a.m. and 7:14 p.m. every day. You have set your clocks to do that. I know you pray other times, but if this would just be a reminder to pray at those times, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, and look it up if you don't already know it. I think most of us have it already memorized. So anyway, I know that you're praying at those particular times for all the things that we're going through and in the midst of right now. And I know some of you are in the depths of things right now. And I just want to encourage you. First and foremost, I want to tell you, this has an end. What we're going through right now has an end. We will get through this. No matter how hard it is right now, we are going to get through this. God is with us. God is in control. He has not fallen off of his throne. He hasn't let you drop out of his hand. He is right there with you right now in the palm of his hand. He is holding you. I just trust him. Trust him. He's got this. He's got this, and he's with you. I wanted to encourage you on your scripture writing. If you haven't gotten the form for your scripture writing, if you haven't gotten your form for your scripture writing, please let us know. You can email me, joy@refugefamily.com, or you can go to our Heart to Heart Facebook page, and you can pick it up there. So I want you to be involved in the Word in that way, because it is on contentment, and that's the one thing that we really need to be working on right now, is being content with the things that we have right now. I want to remind you that we are going to be having communion here on this Friday. On Good Friday, we're going to have our Good Friday service right here. It will be coming from right here into your homes. We will be collectively together taking communion altogether separate. We are going to be all together in our desire to remember what Jesus did for us. That's what communion is about, remembering him. We're so used to it being about gathering together that we sometimes forget that what the communion is remembering Jesus. He said, whenever you do this in remembrance of me. So that's going to be on Good Friday. And then we're going to have our Saturday night service, 6 o'clock. We'll be having that also via this mode of contacting you. And then on 6:30 in the morning, we're going to have a sunrise service. And I want to encourage you at sunrise service to attend it. But I would like you to dress how you would have dressed had you gone to a sunrise service, and then take your mode of communication, that what you're watching it on, go out in your front yard and watch it and sing and do all the things that you would normally do right out there on your front lawn, so that you are, again, we're out there together, but separate from one another. And then there's the 9 and 11 o'clock service as well. On this that we're doing right now. With all of that said, I think those are all the announcements. I want you to know that we're going to continue the women's study all through May. Next week we were scheduled to take a break. Well, of course, we're not taking that break. There's no need for us to do that, and so we'll be going right through May right now, and we'll see what God does and the way that he's going to do it, so be prepared for that. So I just wanted to inform you also about, one thing I want to talk to you about is there is a thing called Red Door Frames for Passover. Red Door Frames for Passover. This was passed on to me by somebody else. It is a Facebook page. It's Red Door Frames for Passover. It's a public group that you can join. I'm not on Facebook, so I'm not a part of it. However, I am going to put a red ribbon around my door, or a red piece of cloth, or a red whatever, and it is in connection with Exodus chapters 1 through 12, particularly the story of Passover at Exodus 12:7. And the Lord had put on my heart about how at Passover the door had the blood on it, and they were told to stay inside your homes, and the death angel would pass over. So that's what Passover is about. You can check it out in Exodus 12, verse 7. But we're doing that. I'm going to do that as a commitment to, evidence of my faith, evidence of my trust in the Lord. We're not doing this as protection for the coronavirus. That I am not doing it for protection from the coronavirus. There is no power in a ribbon. There is no power in fabric. There is no power in anything outwardly that we do. However, there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ, and this is a symbolic statement of our trust in him. So that's what I want to be doing. That's what I want to show other people, that I am trusting the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. So last week I talked to you about the fact that my internet was down, and all of the, you know, my TV, no TV, no internet, no nothing. And they couldn't come and fix it for 4 days. And so I wanted to inform you on what happened and how God is using all of the things that are happening in our lives. God's timing and positioning of his people are always perfect. Well, on Thursday, the man came to fix my internet. And he came in, he looked at a couple of things, and he went over and he said, all you need to do is press the reset button. Okay, so you press the reset button just like that. It worked and it was perfect. And I was like, you know what? I specifically asked the guy on the phone last Sunday on whether or not I should press the reset button. He told me not to do it. But you know what? That was God. Because this man was supposed to be in my house on that Thursday. Because as we talked, he reset that, and then he decided, well, you need a new modem, so let's go ahead and do that, and while I'm here, we'll fix that. And so I mentioned to him, of course, we got our conversation going about the coronavirus, and I mentioned that there is, you know, there's something in the Bible about this kind of pestilence. And he agreed. Mm-hmm. Well, first thing I want to tell you, I was so excited to see that when my TV came up, that it was on the a Christian music channel. So it was just playing Christian music. So I was glad for that witness to him. So we talked a little bit about that. In the course of things, we talked about the fact that this man had been at this church, he had been to this other church, he'd been to this other church, and he actually had been at Refuge. And here he was now in my home. Bill gave him a CD as he left, and as he walked by me, he said, I've got to get back to church. So you see, if I had pushed the reset button on Sunday, this man would never have heard that witness and would never have come to that place of coming back to the Lord. So anyway, I read a story recently about a man who was a lone survivor of a shipwreck on an uninhabited island. And no, I am not talking about Tom Hanks. I am not talking about Castaway. This is just a story that I read. Over several months, he had built a shelter from the pieces of wood from the shipwreck and from other stuff that he could find, whatever he could find on the island. The little hut was his only protection from the elements and from the wind and the rain and whatever was going on there. So he was out searching for food one day, a lengthy search, and while he was out, his little hut caught on fire, and it burned to the ground. He had nothing left. He spent the night in complete despair, slept on the sand, feeling like God had completely abandoned him. Do you ever feel that way? Do you feel like God has completely abandoned you? Well, when he woke up the next morning, it was to the sight of a ship anchored off the coast, right off the island. And there was a man, one of the crew from the ship, was walking toward him with a smile, and he said, "We saw your smoke signal, and we came to rescue you." You see, what appeared to be total destruction turned out to be total deliverance. God's timing is always, always, always perfect. And God's timing would be perfect for Mordecai. His timing would be perfect for Esther. His timing is ultimately perfect for the entire Jewish nation in our story here. And God's timing is spot on for where you're at right now. His timing is completely where it should be as you walk through this challenge of your faith. Because that's what this time is. It is a challenge of your faith. This time is going to end. And at the end of it, I want to be able to look at my life and be a person that hears more clearly from the Lord. I want to be a person who loves more dearly. I want to be a person who loves people more. I want to be in a better place with the Lord than I started out at. And I want to be changed from glory to glory. I don't want to come out of this time with regrets. I wish I had used my time this way. I wish I had used my time that way. Oh, I wish I had had that time in prayer and taken advantage of that, but I made excuses for all the things I was going to clean out or I was going to do the other things. And I want to be more thankful than complaining. I don't want to come out of this having complained about all the things that I didn't have during this time and be thankful for the things that I did have during this time, developing that thankful heart. So make your own checklist and keep it till the end of this trial and take a look at it and see how God has changed you through all of this as you walk with him. And just as judgment is often postponed and promises are unfulfilled in our time schedule, so it is that God has his timing for revealing people and situations. And that's what we have in our text today. Now, you've done your homework. I know you guys have all done your homework and you are already set. You have your Bibles open to Esther chapter 6. And Lord, as we just look at this, I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, Father, that you are right here amongst us, right where we are at, Lord. You have not come into this building. Your Holy Spirit has not come upon this building. Your Holy Spirit has come upon your people. And Lord, as your Holy Spirit comes upon your people, Lord, right now, I pray for a clear understanding of what's being said today. I pray, Father, for a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you would just make your presence known to each one of us, Lord, as we walk through this time and we realize, Lord, you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And so, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your word. And we pray for those who are suffering right now, Lord. We pray for those who have had loss. Father, let your presence be made known with them. Strengthen them. Strengthen the workers. Give us all wisdom in what we do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about the rest of you. I'm a little emotional these days. I'm a little more emotional than usual. I am a woman. I get to cry whenever I want to. So in our text, it is about 8 years since Bigthan and Teresh's plot to destroy the king was hatched and quickly thwarted by Mordecai. And so now we see the perfect timing of God taking action. We left off in chapter 5 with Haman being so pleased with himself. He'd built the gallows. He's going to put to death his enemy. He looks at Mordecai as his enemy because he won't worship him. So that's where we left off, and we come on with that night the king could not sleep. What are the chances that the king could not sleep on this night, on this particular night, that he couldn't sleep? Now, we all have sleepless nights from time to time. Perhaps you're having some of those a little more than usual right now. But during those times when I have a sleepless night, the one thing that I do is I start praying for whatever comes to my mind, whatever the situation that comes to my mind, whatever the person that comes to my mind. And as I'm praying, I usually will go to sleep. But God is in control here, and then I move on to the next person. But this night, the king could not sleep. The very night before Mordecai is to be hung. That night, not the night before, not the night after, but that night the king couldn't sleep. Isn't it interesting that on the very night that Haman was preparing for the death of Mordecai, that the king couldn't sleep because God had a different plan? Sometimes God's miracles aren't so much in what he does as when he does them. Sometimes God's miracles aren't so much in what he does as when he does them. Behind the scenes, God is at work. Even when I don't see him, he's working. Even when I don't hear him, he's working. And I wish I could sing the rest of the song. God is at work, and God is at work right now. God's plan to deliver the Jewish people was fitting into place. It wasn't falling into place. It was fitting into place. Because you see, God has a plan, and his plan is being revealed in our text today. It's fitting into place. Esther has been heard by the king. She's been offered up to half of his kingdom, so she knows that she has that. Now the banquet's going to be prepared for the next day. None of the Jews knew anything about the sleepless night of the king. Mordecai didn't know about it. Haman didn't know about it. Esther didn't know about it. At this time, they are all still in a place where their complete trust is in the Lord to deliver them. Their whole trust is in the Lord. They don't know anything about what's going on, how God is working in the silence. how God is working when we don't know that he's working, when God is working through his plan. They have complete trust in the Lord to deliver them. And so it goes on to say, so one was commanded because of the king could not sleep. And so one was commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, the doorkeepers, who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And then the king said, what honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this, and the king's servants who attended him? Nothing has been done for him. That's what was told to him. Of all the text that could have been brought to the king from the records of 12 years of this king's rule, of all the pages that could have been brought to him, it was this page, it was this text, because God had so ordained it. God had a plan. God is bringing this all under his control. And the deliverance of the Jews lay in a simple, insignificant bout with insomnia. Their deliverance lay in a simple, insignificant bout with insomnia. So when you're having those sleepless nights, find out what God wants you to do in those times, what he wants you to read. While all of Shushan slept, the king lay awake. And although this king is not like our King Jesus, this king is not like anything like the one that we serve, still it's a reminder that God is not indifferent to us and he's not distant from us. He sees you. He hears you. He cares. And he's intervening on your behalf. Whatever your situation is with your kids, with your husband, with your time all together, with your income or lack of it, God sees that. God hears your cry. He's there for you. He's right there with you. He's intervening on your behalf. Psalm 121:1, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He will neither slumber nor sleep. He is always watching over you. God is in control. Just remember, God is in control. Even though we sometimes get a wave of feeling abandoned. Have you ever felt abandoned? Do you feel abandoned today? Do you feel like you're all alone in all of this? You're not alone in all of this. You know other people are going through it, but you know, I'm the only one that's going through this particular thing. And the worst thing that's going on with me is the worst thing in my life. That's true. God has got this. God is in control. We are never out of God's watchful eye or far from his protective care. We are never out of his sight. He only has eyes for us. He has his eye on us. He is not far from us. He has his protective care on us. And so the king said in verse 4, who is in the court? And now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to suggest that the king hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. What a foolish, foolish man. But then the enemy always overplays his hand. Remember? The enemy will always overplay his hand. The king's servant said to him, Haman is there standing in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king asked, what shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? And now Haman thought in his heart, whom would the king delight to honor more than me? Oh, are you kidding? Oh, let me think. Oh, my goodness. As soon as the king heard that nothing had been done to reward Mordecai, he immediately set out to rectify that. The timing was correct. God had put it together so that the timing was absolutely spot on. Who's in the court? Well, it happens to be Haman. I wonder how that happened. I wonder how it just happened that it was Haman that was out in the court. And so when Haman came in and he asked, what do you think I ought to be done for the man who saved my life? Oh man, does God know how to set things up or what? Just like Satan, Haman is out for the glory, thinking, of course, that it's him. And he lets his imagination run wild. And I've kind of put this portion of our text in my own words, if you don't mind. He sees his name in lights, first of all. Oh, Haman, Haman, Haman. We love Haman. We love Haman. Oh, Haman, Haman, Haman. Oh, everybody's going to bring glory to me because he's talking about me. Oh, I'm so excited. So he sees his name in lights, and here's what you should do, King, is what he says. I think you ought to bring in the royal apparel which you used to wear, and the horse that you used to ride. And what he's also saying is the royal crown that had sat on your head. That's what I think. And I think that the apparel ought to be put on the man whom the king delights to honor. In Haman's mind, he is already seeing it happen. He is seeing himself being praised. He is seeing himself riding on that horse. He is seeing himself wave at the people. He is seeing himself receiving all the glory, all the praise, just like Satan did when he wanted all of the glory, all of the praise. And I think you ought to put him on a horseback and take him through the streets of the city and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. And the idea pleased the king, and it became his command. And so after he's gone through all of this, then the king said to Haman, verse 10, oh my goodness. Hurry, take the robe and the horse as you have suggested, and do so for Mordecai the Jew, who sits within the king's gate. Leave nothing undone of all that you have spoken. Haman's jaw drops. How does he react? He's in front of the king. He can't let the king know what he was thinking. What Haman had devised for himself, he would have to provide for the one that he saw as his enemy. The thing that he devised for himself to receive all the glory, now he has to do that for someone else and someone that he looks at as being his enemy. There are three kinds of rewards. We try to reward yourself. Try to reward yourself. That's exactly what Haman was doing, trying to reward himself. You can let others reward you. That's nice. It's nice to have other people reward you. And you can allow God to reward you. And I'm telling you, I would rather God reward me. He has the perfect time to reward me. He has the perfect setting to reward me. Hebrews 6:10 said, God is not unfaithful to forget your work and labor of love, and that you have ministered to the saints and you continue to minister. God has not forgotten what you're doing. God sees what you're doing right now. Now, there are some of you that you are very much seen in everything that you're doing. And there are some of you who are not seen while you're doing it. There are some that the results of what you are doing are seen, but you are not specifically seen. There are those of you who are quietly calling other people to encourage them and to pray with them. And nobody else sees that. Nobody else hears that. But God sees that. And it blesses his heart. Allow God to reward you in his time and in his way. I guarantee his is the best reward of all. At the end of the days, here on earth, I want the Lord to be able to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I can't do that if I accept the rewards of everything else or try to reward myself. I need to allow the Lord to do that. But Haman wanted to reward himself. Proverbs 18:12. Before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. Find yourself in that place of humility, not in that haughtiness. And I know this is not true of any of you. Any of you that are listening, I know that this is not true of any of you, that you are haughty. I know that Proverbs 29:23, after the comma, is true of you. Let me clarify that. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride will bring him low, comma, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. I know that you, ladies, are after the comma, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. So Haman parades Mordecai through the city, proclaiming, "Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor." How in the world did he keep a face on him? What did his face look like at that particular time? What did Mordecai's face look like at that time as he was being led through the city? I don't know. I don't know. So Haman took the robe and the horse, verse 11, and put it on Mordecai, led him on horseback through the city square, and proclaimed before him, "Thus shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor." And verse 12, afterward, Mordecai went back to the king's gate. Afterwards, Mordecai went back to the king's gate. He went right back to where he'd started. He could have reveled in what had just happened to him. He could have passed that on to everybody else. Did you notice? Did you notice that was me on the horse? I know you probably didn't recognize me and all that stuff, but that was me. No, that's not Mordecai, because he is into what the Lord is doing. He realizes the day that he's living in. He is back in the king's gate praying and worshiping the Lord and waiting to see the goodness of God. His faith that would be, it's faith that they would be delivered. He is back there with that faith that they are going to be delivered. Remember, he said to Esther, if you don't do it, don't worry, because God will deliver us, but you are going to die right along with everybody else. God will deliver us. So there was a faith that God would deliver us. Did Mordecai know about the gallows? I don't know. I don't think that he did. But if he did, he would have continued to do just as he had always done, just like Daniel did, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They continued on with the things that they had always done in worshiping the Lord. And I am so thankful that we can do that. We can worship the Lord wherever we are at. We can worship the Lord with our windows open in our homes, and we don't have to worry. We can worship anywhere, any place, because God is with us. And Pastor Allen has used this phrase at one of the fireside chats, which I just didn't say, but Mordecai's cup of faith was full. His cup of faith was full. Now, Pastor Allen had shared at one of the fireside chats this wonderful word picture of how we were at the beginning of all of this thing that we're going through now with the virus going through and all the directions we're getting and all of that. We all kind of thought our faith cup was full. Well, yeah, I'm a person of faith. Yeah, I have a lot of faith. Yes, I do. And then when it started, we realized my faith cup is not as full as I would like it to be right now. And I'm not trusting the Lord quite as much as I would like to be trusting the Lord. So how's your faith cup? How's your faith cup doing today? Is your faith cup full? Are you trusting the Lord, allowing him to be in complete control? So Mordecai goes back to what he was doing, But what did Haman do? Haman ran back to his house, mourning, and he kept his head covered. He was humiliated. What do I do with this now? And I love the support that he got from his family. Love the support that he got from his friends and his wife. In verse 13, when Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him, his wise men, his wise guys, and his wife Zeresh said to him, "Man, you are dead. You did not tell us that Mordecai was a Jew. You are a dead man. If Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but will surely fall before him. Just let me tell you, this is what's going to happen to you. You should have told us in the beginning. We would not have suggested this gallows thing if you would have told us this." But almost before the warning for his wife could sink in, the warning from his wife could sink in, Haman is whisked off to the royal banquet. Look what it says. While they were still talking with him, verse 14, the king's eunuchs came and hastened to bring Haman to the banquet which Esther had prepared. And the faithful end he had so meticulously planned for Mordecai would be his own. He was very aware of that. While Haman has lost hope that the king will honor him, and he may be questioning why he's been invited now by Esther, he does not have an opportunity now to say, "No, I'd rather not go to it." And he's escorted by the king's chamberlains to the banquet that Esther prepared. Remember, she said, "I will prepare it," and now she has prepared it. This preparation came out of prayer and fasting. This plan came out of prayer and fasting. This deliverance came out of prayer and fasting. I want to challenge you to something. Will you fast with me starting on Thursday? Fasting and praying until Easter morning. Will you fast and pray with me? Now, some of you can't completely fast. That's okay. You do what God tells you to do. Find out if God wants you to do this fasting. But make sure that when you are fasting, that you are taking the time that you would be eating and committing it to prayer. That's how fasting works. That we are depriving ourselves of something so that we can get in communion with God. He can have our full attention. We pay attention to him. Join me if you want to. It would be great. I'm going to be doing that. So if you want to join with me, I'm also going to put the red on my door. So if you want to join me in that. But send me pictures. Send me pictures if you do that with your door. May the Lord teach us to trust in his character and not to judge in the circumstances at hand. May the Lord teach us to trust in his character and not to judge in the circumstances at hand. His promises are yes and amen, and the delay of fulfillment, remember, it's always his timing. The delay of fulfillment never negates the promise. God is a man of his word. You can take that to the bank. He is a man of his word. He said, "I will provide for your needs according to my riches and glory." He said that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He said that I will walk with you. He said that I will be with you. He said that I will lead you with my righteous right hand, that I will be with you, that Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We are to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and not lean to our own understanding, but to in all of our ways, we are to acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths in what we're to do. He told us that we will reap in due season if we faint not. So don't quit. Don't stop. Don't give in to things that you know are not of God. Don't give in to it. Stand firm on what you know to be truth. May we seek rewards, may we not seek rewards of men to be seen of men, but may they see our good works and glorify our God, which is in heaven. May they see our good works and how the Lord sustains us and the Lord blesses us and glorify our Father who is in heaven. In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Would you be glorified in our lives today? Lord Jesus, would you be glorified in our lives? Would you receive all the glory and all the praise that's due to your name, Lord? We stand here today because of you. We have our Bibles. We have your word because of what you did, of what we celebrate this weekend, your resurrection. Lord, you laid down your life for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, you told us that. And then you rose from the dead because death cannot hold you. You died in our place that we might have eternal life. And we celebrate your resurrection, Lord. We celebrate who you are. We are thankful, Lord, to be your children. We are thankful, Lord, to walk in your ways. We are thankful, Lord, that we can memorize your scripture. We are thankful, Lord, that we know that you're not going to leave us or forsake us. We thank you, Lord, that you have covered us. We thank you, Lord, that you've gone before us and behind us and on either side of us, that you encircle us. Lord, that you have the cares of our family, that you have the cares of our finances. Lord Jesus, that you have this. You have this in control. And Father, I pray that each day that we walk through this trial, that we would become more and more like you, because you are worthy of that praise. You are worthy of it, Lord. And we thank you. We praise you. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to remind you about Easter. So if you're going to do sunrise service out on your front lawn, that's going to be fun. But then if you would, with your family, get dressed just like you would get dressed if you were coming to church, okay? Get dressed, celebrate in the same way that you would be celebrating if we were all together in this place, in one place, but we are all together in one place. We are all together in this one place called the internet. So we're all together. So treat it like something that you are giving glory to God. This is the reminder that we have. We can't do all the gathering together in one place where we see each other. And that really causes us to set our eyes on Jesus and what he did. So this Easter, may you commit yourself to serving the Lord Jesus Christ in a new and living way. God bless you guys. You will see me next week. Okay, God bless you.
Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up.